Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. This is the 24th of May. We will finish the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians today on our journey through Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And I want to read all of 13 through 16 to begin. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections are greater for you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. A couple things to bring up here. Remember that Paul would not go through the open door opened to him by the Lord back in chapter 2, same book. He had an open door to preach the gospel. He knew the door had been opened by the Lord. The word there is really opportunity, an opportunity opened to me by the Lord. And I had no rest in my spirit because I didn't find Titus my brother. And I told you back then, I just want to repeat it now, it seems impossible that the Lord opened the door and troubled Paul's spirit about not going. So what we can assume from chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, is that the Lord opened a door, but Paul didn't go through it because he was uncomfortable going without his friend Titus. Now, I think when we taught that, I made the statement along the lines that Paul had an issue with confidence, that maybe he relied a little too much on the people around him. I stand by that. I still think that's a strong possibility. He's obviously been reunited with Titus. Titus is sort of the liaison between Paul and Corinth. Titus is probably Paul's closest companion in ministry, a Gentile. The only New Testament book named after a Gentile would have been Titus. That is a Roman name, a Greek name. Consequently, the book of Titus has been argued to have been written by Titus and penned in the style of Paul. That we can't prove or disprove that. But what we can prove based upon the writings of Titus and Corinth and Romans is that Paul and Titus were quite close, and that Paul was encouraged by the fact that Titus was refreshed. His spirit was refreshed by you all. The personal contact between the Corinthian people and Titus had encouraged Titus spiritually and encouraged him so much that a noticeable change happened in him. And that's what happens when we encourage one another in the Lord. It's also why, and I think through this COVID-19 quarantine, we're all seeing this more than ever, it's why we need the community of the church. We need some meeting of the body of believers. It doesn't have to be the traditional Sunday go to meeting. It can be. That's a great thing. It could be a large group in which you're kind of lost in that group, but you take security in that large number. It could be a small group where you know everyone's name and birthday and their favorite food, and you have an intimate knowledge of their likes and dislikes, and it's like your family. But in any case, there is something to be said for being encouraged by the community, the communion with the community. And it's so important that it actually refreshes your spirit, man. You get better. You get better because people make you better. Paul had boasted to Titus about the Corinthians, and he's bragging on them, saying, I'm glad that I'm not ashamed of you. Everything I told him was true. His affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him. And this is an interesting phrase at the end of 15. With fear and trembling, and that's a phrase that Paul uses when he talks about working out your own salvation, that that quite famous line that Paul uses of working out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And that doesn't mean be scared to death and shake all the time, but it is a sign of repentance and awe before a God of awe. We see the New Testament referred to God in terms of fear, but never in terms of a fear according to this world, but a fear according to respect. And so the fear and trembling that had happened in Corinth was received by Titus, apparently, based upon the tone of this, even before Titus arrived with the letter of rebuke, the first Corinthian letter. The Holy Spirit was already working repentance in the Corinthian church. I think it's why the second letter is so much softer. Imagine that Paul hears these things about Corinth. He writes this letter. 1 Corinthians is rather scathing. Titus takes the letter to Corinth, but when Titus gets there, he's shocked because it's not as bad as he thought it would be, and that's because they've already had a repentance. So when Titus comes back to Paul, he goes, man, they weren't quite as bad as you described them. They received me. They seemed repentant. Here's what's going on. And I think that's why there's a softening in the second Corinthian letter where Paul says, oh, I see, there's a maturity. Why am I sharing all this with you? Well, because I'm encouraged that bodies of communities of believers do go through peaks and valleys. They do grow. And I want to encourage pastors and leaders who might be listening. Your church goes through peaks and valleys. They grow. They progress and they regress. But we continue to love them and pour in grace to them, grace and instruction and correction, and believe that they have access to the same Holy Spirit that we do. And because of that, they are going to grow and change, and we can rejoice in that. In fact, listen to 16 again. This is the final verse of chapter 7. Great chapter break, by the way. Therefore, I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. The ESV I like says, perfect confidence in you. That is worth rejoicing over when you have that feeling of a group of believers. Perfect confidence. Okay, tomorrow we start chapter 8. Paul's going to get into how they should excel in giving. It also might be a touch ironic that, or at least more than coincidental, let's say it that way, that Paul builds them up so beautifully before talking about giving. And I'm not meaning that Paul has an ulterior motive, but we're going to dig in to see what where Paul's going to go with this. We're getting into some fantastic things about giving over the next couple chapters. See you tomorrow. God bless.